And we'd like to welcome to Art in the Air Spotlight. He's a region native, and he writes, if you haven't read the Times lately, he writes a lot in the Times of Northwest Indiana, and it's taken him all around the South Shore and Northwest Indiana, and it's produced several books, Lost Hammond, Indiana, 100 Things to Try and Do in Gary, Northwest Indiana, Things to Do Before You Die, and he's got a new book out that's familiar with a lot of people, and I think you would like it. If you're from the East Chicago, Indiana Harbor area, it's called Lost East Chicago and Indiana Harbor. We'd like to welcome to Art in the Air Spotlight, Joseph S. Pete, and he's going to tell us all about that book and some of the other things he's got going. Welcome.
Very nice seeing you again.
Thank you so much for having me. Yes, my new book is Lost East Chicago and Indiana Harbor. It was written for the History Press. It's part of the Lost series, which is about kind of vanished and bygone places, different communities across the country. Locally, Jerry Davich, a fellow Times columnist, wrote Lost Gary, and then I wrote Lost Hammond for the series. But they have these books in, you know, there's a Lost Milwaukee, Lost Chicago, and so on. They have them for cities, you know, all around the country. I thought East Chicago in particular has been kind of very underrepresented. Like a lot of the history in this state, it tends to either focus on the Indianapolis area, or if it's in Northwest Indiana, the story of Gary has just this very dramatic kind of rise and fall trajectory. So a lot of the local history tends to focus on that. And I feel like you have a lot of very storied communities that are very underrepresented in the pages of history books. East Chicago is definitely one of those. I feel this, there have been multiple good books that have already been written about it. Jane Amison's East Chicago, Archibald McKinley wrote Twin City and a couple other ones, but it's been well over a decade since there's been any kind of like general interest history about East Chicago. John Frere wrote a good Mexican Americans playing baseball in East Chicago book though. Mm-hmm. But the thing about it is it's such a rich layer. There's so many layers to East Chicago. It could easily be multiple different subjects, could be book length on their own. You have just a very rich history of, like, you know, machine politics, a very rich history of immigration, a very rich history of heavy industry. It really was a steelmaker to the world, like a mini arsenal of democracy. And then a very rich history of, you know, pollution and so forth. But there's all, and sports, it's the city of champions. They've had, it was the only city in the state with back-to-back undefeated high school basketball championships. And basketball is a huge, huge thing there. It was, you know, it produced many, like the winningest NBA coach of all time, Greg Popovich. It produced Junior Bridgman, one of the best six men of all time for the Milwaukee Bucks. And it was really a charged rivalry back when Washington and Roosevelt were playing each other. People compared it to like the Celtics and the Lakers. And then there's just like little known bits of history that a lot of people wouldn't have realized. Like Michael Jordan had played his first ever game in a Bulls uniform at Washington High School. I interviewed multiple people who were there that night to watch history being made. Unlike my previous book, Lost Hammond, that one kind of focused more on the general history, Hammond, and kind of like a lot of newspaper accounts and, you know, publications from the Historical Society and, you know, other documents and so forth. This one was heavily based on interviews. I really tried to capture the feel and what it was like to grow up there, because in particular, with East Chicago generally and with Indiana Harbor in particular, it just holds such a magical nostalgia for a lot of people who grew up there, because it attracted immigrants from all over the world because of the steel mills. They had over 100 different nationalities there at one point. A lot of people just have these very romantic notions of growing up where, you know, six or seven languages were spoken on the same block. There was a different church for every ethnicity. There was all kinds of different ethnic food, the odors of which were wafting through the neighborhood as people were out grilling. People would share food. People looked out for their neighbors. Everyone was almost kind of equal because everyone's, you know, parents worked in the steel mill. But there was a sense of camaraderie and unity that people had, and a sense of that a lot of people moved away said they haven't been able to recapture anything since, because it just filled with all these like compelling anecdotes about, you know, with the ethnic issues. Like, for instance, people would go to like a Lithuanian church where the priest spoke a different language if their sins were particularly bad that week, in the hope that they would get some leniency and things like that. But there were stories about like meeting someone where you know, she was Mexican and he was Greek, and they neither spoke English, and they were trying to communicate, and they eventually ended up getting married and everything. But it kind of details like how that came about. But it's just based on a lot of like stories about the rich tapestry of growing up there. There's a lot of like, you know, stuff that people tend to romanticize, like hot dog Johns, Taco Joe's. The Inland Steel Christmas parties are very popular. They used to have a zoo. There was the baseball stadium. There are old movie theaters like the Vogue and the Indiana Theater where people were entertained for years. But there was just, there's also components of, a lot of like, you know, there was some crime in the city. John Dillinger's big bank robbery was there at the First National Bank downtown, an architectural treasure that was sadly razed to make way for a Walgreens, and the bullet holes were visible up until the end when it was torn down in the 2000s. But then there were some, you know, unsolved mysteries like of Jay Givens and, you know, so forth that the book kind of explores. But it just kind of tends to look back at like a lot of the places people have these nostalgic romantic memories for, like the Mademoiselle shops. But it also recalls some of the bit more of the offbeat history. Like there was Jimmy the Mummy, a mummy a local funeral home had that they would like let kids see for like a nickel back when there were far more lax regulations with that type of thing. There was a hermit that was kind of notorious, like locally, who was kind of a figure of local lore, but it kind of explores, you know, all those things. Bolita, the big house, a lot of the industrial neighborhoods they built, like Pullman in Chicago was built by Pullman, but the Chicago had its own industrial neighborhoods, Marktown and Sunnyside. Marktown designed to look like a, you know, village, an English village, by the noted architect Howard Van Doren Shaw. And, you know, but it just really tries to capture, you know, what the place was like, what the people were like, all the city's various accomplishments on the athletic field in terms of heavy industry, in terms of supporting the war effort, in terms of being just a magnet for immigration that brought people together from all over the world. A lot of people who grew up there thought it was a really special place. And that's what I really try to capture in the book.
Well, real quickly, in our last few moments here, tell us how people can find your book.
Oh, it's available at all local bookstores, Miles Books, Green Door Books, The Press in Valpo, Barnes & Noble's, Books A Million. Any of the fine retailers in Northwest Indiana that carry books will have it. The new Barnes & Noble in Cherryville should have it when it opens. But anywhere with books pretty much will have it.
Well, it's Joseph S. Pete, and he's written a new book. You can find all of his books at these locations. Joseph, thank you so much for coming on Art in the Air Spotlight and sharing your journey.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, congratulations on the new book.
Oh, thank you.
Art in the Air Spotlight and the complete one-hour program on Lakeshore Public Media is brought to you by McCauley Real Estate in Valparaiso, Olga Patrician, Senior Broker.